Shanti. Now once again, Om Shanti. So for the past 2-3 days, all of you have been hearing a lot about Raj Yoga. And I think by now, you must have understood what Raj Yoga is. Yog means a communication, a link, a joint, a meeting. And Raj Yoga means the communication of the soul with the Supreme Soul, of the Self with God. So once I have understood what Raj Yoga is, I now give a lot of importance to the Self, Atma. The soul is eternal, immortal, imperishable. And I am that soul. I was never born and I will never die. I only change bodies which are like costume. And I am the child of the Supreme Soul, Shiva. We both reside in the soul world. The form of the soul as well as the Supreme Soul is similar, a point in divine light. The qualities are also similar. Only thing is that quantity is different. Shiv Baba is the ocean of peace. The soul is an embodiment of peace. I don't have to get peace from anywhere else, but I become the embodiment through that consciousness and I feel the peace. I have the consciousness that I am the child of Shiva, the Supreme, the ocean of peace, then I automatically have a right to peace. My nature is peace. My abode is the home of peace. And my father is the ocean of peace. And therefore I am a peaceful soul. Now as I understand this, I am able to communicate with the Supreme in all relationships. So this is what Raj Yoga means. So just as in Raj Yoga there is great importance of soul and Supreme Soul, similarly, Raj Yoga also gives a great importance to the value of time. What period are we going through now in the world cycle? It also gives importance to the value of karma philosophy. And according to the time, what am I supposed to do now? So the subject I'm going to take up now is the depth of the cycle of time. So to understand this, we have to understand that whatever is being told here, all these are revelations which Shiva the Supreme has given through the medium of Prajapita Brahma. Who Prajapita Brahma is, how Shiva revealed the truth of the Creator and His creation, that I will tell you in the next lesson. But what truth has the Supreme being revealed through the Pitashri Brahma Baba, that we are telling here. Many people think that these Brahma Kumaris call their Guru to be God. We say no. Pitashri Brahma was the name given by Shiva, the Supreme, to him. And he is not God. He is not even our Guru. But he is our Divine Father. through whom Shiv Baba has given us a new spiritual birth. But Shiva has revealed about himself and his creation through Brahma Baba. So what is the basis of this revelation? Once I understand the basis, then it's very easy to understand the whole of spirituality. Just as in science, we understand the basics, the main theory on which the whole of science is based, that theory is that matter can never be created nor destroyed. Matter is eternal, but it can change its form from one to the other, but total sum remains the same. So once I understand the eternity of matter or the eternity of energy, that action and reaction are equal and opposite in matter, so we understand that in this physical world, everything is eternal. All the five elements are eternal. Nobody created fire or earth or ether or air or water. They're all eternal. Since eternity, these elements have been there. It's not that there was a time when there was nothing. Something cannot come from nothing. Something will come from something. Similarly, we speak about inanimate and animate. Inanimate has to be eternal too, and animate has to be eternal too, the living. The living will come from the living. It cannot come from the non-living. So in matter there is eternity. There is also life and death. But this matter is not for itself. Earth, water, fire, air, ether are not for themselves. They are meant for human beings. They are meant for birds and animals, the living beings. That is why it is said that the river never drinks its own water. The trees never eat their own fruit. So, for whom is the water, for whom is the fruit? It is for us, the living beings. So, matter is an inanimate entity. And we souls are the living sentient beings. In matter also there is life and non-life. Like stone is non-life, but plant has life, but then that life dies. There is growth in plant, but then it dies. Similarly, in every cell of the body there is growth and decay. So this is animal cell and that is plant cell and that has physical life. But then the soul means that which has mind, intellect and samskaras. And I am the master of matter. So not only matter is eternal, but even the master of matter is eternal. And above the soul and matter is the supreme soul. What we say in Sanskrit as Purush, Parampurush and Prakriti. The game is between Purush and Prakriti. Purush and Prakriti interact and there is action. But when Purush is the master of Prakriti, then this world is called Satyug, Golden Age. But in the cycle, a time comes when Prakriti becomes master of Purush. Like If the driver is controlling the car, then the car is giving a lot of happiness. People enjoy riding in a car, and driving is like a game for the driver. But if the car goes out of control, and instead of the driver controlling the car begins to take the driver where it wants to, then there is chaos, there is accident, there is death, there is sorrow, there is suffering. So if the soul, the master of matter, is controlling matter, then this world is golden age, happiness, peace, virtues everywhere. And this world is a mere paradise. But then a time comes in nature when matter becomes the master and the soul becomes subservient under it. And the result is chaos, suffering, unhappiness, misery. And we call it Kali Yuga, Iron Age. Therefore we say matter is a good servant, but a bad master. We say in English, fire is good for life. If there is no fire, we can all freeze to death. So fire is a good servant. But if it becomes a master and burns everything, then it brings destruction. So in this world cycle, everything is eternal, but it is in a form of a game. The game of rise and fall. The game of awareness and forgetfulness. The game of happiness and sorrow. The game of day and night. The game of heaven and hell. And in this game, we souls go through. But then when it becomes completely hell, when there's total decay of religiousness, righteousness, all the values are finished, then God has to come. It is just like in a democratic rule. In India, for example, we have democracy of the people, by the people, for the people. We choose our own leaders through votes. And they are the politicians who rule over us, but we choose them. And they are meant to serve us. And when they are serving us well, then everything is so happy. You know, everyone is happy. Everything is so good. But if there is, instead of good governance, there is bad governance, and everything goes out of order, chaos, everything is disturbed, then president's rule is put. Governor's rule is put, and the assembly or the parliament is dissolved. The president becomes the master. He rules. Otherwise, president does not interfere in whatever the parliament passes. But the president will interfere only when there is not proper governance. So too, God does not interfere between soul and matter. But a time comes when matter becomes such a big master and the soul becomes so subservient, so under, that there is total chaos everywhere. And then God has to intervene. That is why it's a promise given by God. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam dharmasya tadatmanam srajamyaham. At the time of total irreligiousness and unrighteousness, I descend and destroy all the irreligiousness and unrighteousness and establish one true religion or religiousness and righteousness. So God's divine acts are totally different. from human acts. Human acts are different. From morning till night we play different acts. But God's ways are unique. Like when it becomes night, it's only the sun which can bring in the morning. However many lights we may put on, 10,000 watt bulb or whatever, but if the sun starts shining, then all that is useless. And if the sun is not there, then however much light you may have, it can't bring the day. So God is called the, not only the ocean of knowledge, but He's called the sun of knowledge. Gyan Surya Pragatya, Agyan Andhera Vinash. When the sun of knowledge rises, the darkness of ignorance vanishes. So till now we had been going through a complete darkness. We were unaware of the self, we were unaware of God, unaware of God's creation. And now Shiv Baba has given us the complete realization that matter is eternal, but matter goes through a cycle. Everything in matter, in nature, goes through a cycle. Just like we have 7 days in a week, there is never an 8th day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 days, and then again you have Sunday. You don't have another day. But the 7 days rotate. Similarly, we have 12 months in a year, and they all rotate. We have 60 seconds in a minute, and then again they rotate. 60 minutes in an hour, again they rotate. 24 hours in a day, and again they rotate. So everything is in a cycle. Even the weathers. We have spring, summer, autumn, winter, all the different weathers we have in our country. So, and after 12 months, they will repeat. So everything goes through a repetition. Similarly, in nature too, there is a repetition. And that cycle has some duration. 60 seconds or 60 minutes, never 61 or 62, or 7 days or 12 months, you know. It's a specific duration. So Shiv Baba has revealed to us that time is cyclic. Time is not like a line, it's not linear. Line will start here and end here. You draw a line and you start and then finish here, and that's the end of the line. But time is in a cycle. And cycle means no beginning, no end. But wherever there is a drastic change, a very big change, then you say yes, end of one and beginning of the other. What we call as the transformational change. Transitional changes are happening every moment. Like morning becomes afternoon, afternoon becomes evening, evening becomes night. These are little changes happening every second, every moment. But then AM becomes PM gradually, 12 hours AM and then PM. But after 12 midnight, PM, immediately the next second will be AM. The new day will begin. So that's called transformational change. So we say that in this world cycle, the duration of one cycle is 5,000 years only. Now this has been revealed to us by God. Matter is eternal. Nobody created it. Everything is eternal. But the duration for one cycle is 5,000 years. And in these 5,000 years, we pass through different ages. There is the golden age, silver age, copper age, iron age. And after the iron age, golden age has to come again. Like after the night, the morning has to come again. Golden age and silver age are called the day of Brahma. And copper age and iron age are called the night of Brahma. Golden age, silver age are the righteous side. And copper age, iron age are the leftious side, the unrighteous side in the sense. That is why these four ages have been divided equally, and that symbol is a swastika. In a swastika you will notice that how all the four parts are equal, and the hands in a swastika, first they are going right way, in the right, and then after right, then after the end of silver age, it becomes unrighteous, goes towards the left. And then at the end of iron age, again it starts going towards the right. So if we say that golden age and silver age are heaven, and copper age and iron age are hell, we are not wrong. Many people think that heaven is somewhere above, and hell is somewhere below, somewhere down. But Shiv Baba has revealed that no, heaven is not somewhere above. Because this cycle, if you show it in the form of a ladder, the first two parts in a ladder are above, and the latter two parts are below. And therefore people think heaven is somewhere above and hell is somewhere below. And many people think heaven means where deities live and hell is where devils live. But actually deities, humans, devils, all are human beings. Now Lakshmi, Narayan, Sri Ram, Sri Sita, Sri Radhe, Sri Krishna, they're all in their physical forms. They took birth, they even left the body, they ruled. So, they are called deities. Why are they called deities? Because they had divine qualities in them. But the people in Iron Age are called devils. Devils are not something like, you know, having four eyes or eyes behind or horns or, you know, huge in size or many hands, many heads. No. All these devils, whichever are shown in the scriptures, they all have a spiritual meaning. For example, when they show Ravan with 10 heads. Now, how can anyone ever have 10 heads? Just imagine. With one head, okay, we can eat, we can see through the eyes, hear, all that. But if somebody had 10 heads, how would he sleep? How would he eat? How would he keep his heads? You know, it's so difficult. Sometimes even with 2 hands, we find it so difficult to sleep. You know, we don't know where to put our hand, it pains. If with 10 heads, how will somebody go to sleep? But actually 10 heads of Ravan indicate the vices, 5 vices in man and 5 vices in a woman represent the 10 heads of Ravan. So what is Ravan? Actually it is the impure couple, combination of an impure couple with the 5 vices of man and woman. What we see in Kali Yuga today, everyone has vices, man and woman. So we can say that today Ravan is ruling in the world. And then on the other hand, we show Vishnu with 4 arms. Now Vishnu is shown with 4 arms. What does that mean? Nobody can ever have 4 arms. Even with 2 arms, sometimes we find it difficult to sleep, how to sleep. How will we handle 4 arms? Some are shown with 8 arms. How can there be 8 arms like that? So all these are symbolic. So just as the 10 heads depict the vices, lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego in man, and lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego in a woman. In contrast to that, Vishnu means symbol of Sri Lakshmi and Sri Narayana. So two arms of Lakshmi and two arms of Narayana. And when Sri Narayana is in the front, then it is Vishnu. But when Lakshmi is in the front, then it is called Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi is shown with four arms. And Lakshmi, when she is shown with Narayana, she is shown with two arms. But nobody ever thought why it's like that. When Lakshmi and Narayana are shown, usually they are shown only two arms. But only when Vishnu is shown, it is shown four arms. Or Mahalakshmi is worshipped during Deepavali time, Diwali time. Then she is shown with four arms, giving money. So we can understand that actually it's a symbol of pure couple. Therefore we say, what's the difference between a deity and a devil and a human being? It's all in the consciousness, not physically. What will a devil say? The one who has devilish attitude, he will say, mine is mine and yours is also mine. He will try to grab the things of others by hook or by crook, by stealing, by robbing, by killing, by, you know, telling lies and all the wrong tricks he will use to grab somebody else's property. He'll say, yours is mine and I will not give you what is mine. I will take away yours instead. So this is devilish quality, devilish nature. And what is human nature, ordinary human beings, what they will say? Maybe they are God-fearing, so they will say, okay, okay, if it's yours, you keep. Mine, I will keep. What is mine, I will not give you, but what is yours, I don't want. Okay, you take it. I don't want yours, but I will not give you mine. So yours is yours, mine is mine. And he will separate, put a wall, a partition, and both will be separated. That's what we see in the world today. Brothers, you know how partition takes place? This is your house, this is my house. You don't come in my house, I don't come in your house. This is your share, this is my share. I will not give you my share, and I don't want your share, okay. But what will a deity do? A deity will say, mine is yours, yours is mine. Actually, nothing is mine. A yogi is even higher than a deity. A yogi will say, nothing is mine, everything belongs to God. A deity will say, okay, whatever belongs to me also belongs to you. Come and share. Yes, I will share. So you share with me and I share with you. Then there is so much joy and happiness. You know, there is a story on this in the scriptures that once devils complained to Indradev, the God of heaven, that why do you not invite devils to heaven? Why you invite only deities to heaven? Even we should be invited to enjoy heaven. So Indradev invited the devils to fulfill their desire. And he held a very big feast. But when the devils were called to eat in that feast, they were put a condition. The condition was that they should not bend their elbow and eat. A big stick was, you know, tied round their hands so that they could not bend their elbow to eat. So devils were invited first. And when the devils came, they said, how can we eat if we cannot bend our elbow? Their mouth was, you know, watering and they wanted to eat. But they didn't know how to eat. So what one did, he picked up a laddu, picked up one sweet and then flung it in the air and opened his mouth and hand like this to take that sweet in his mouth. The other one said, oh, he's doing that, let me do the same. The third one said, let me do the same. So what they did, they took that sweet and throw it in the air so that from the air it would fall and go in their mouth. But what happened? In this process they started hitting each other, pushing each other. And when they were pushing each other, not allowing that sweet to go in their mouth, in the other one's mouth, then what happened? Everyone fell on top of one another. The sweets fell down and they fell on the sweets and the sweets fell on top of them. But no sweet went inside the mouth. So everything was destroyed. Then the deities were called. They had a feast. But the condition was the same. No bending the elbow. So how did the deities eat? Yes? How did the deities eat? Yes? Yes. They fed the other one. Because if I can't bend my elbow to eat, to put the food in my mouth, and this is tied and this is straight, at least I can put in your mouth, no? I can put in your mouth. So when one deity came and he put it in the other one's mouth, then each one did the same. They took the food and put in the other one's mouth. And in this way, there was so much love for one another, feeding one another, and everything they could eat. But why didn't the devils think of this? Devils didn't think of this. That if I can't put in my mouth, let me put in the other one's mouth. He'll say, no, no, I want first. I. So this is the difference between devils and deities. So in golden age, everyone is a deity. Everyone. That is why when we say Bharat, you know what Bharat means? Bharat, it has a very deep meaning. It's not that there was a king called Bharat and he ruled and therefore on his name the word Bharat came. No. Bharat comes from a very special word. It can be divided into two words, Bha plus Rat. Bha means light. You know, there is an aura behind the deity's head that is called Abha. It's aura, light. So Bha means light and Rat means merged in. So merged in light. So Bharat was a land which was merged in light. Everyone had a crown of light behind his back. That is, each one was a deity. We speak about 33 crore Devi Devatas. So when did they exist? Where did they exist? And where are they now? They were not somewhere in heaven, somewhere above. But they were on this earth. And we were those deities. This is what Shiv Baba has revealed. And this Bharat had a religion called the Adi Sanatan Devi Devata Dharma. The Sanatan Dharma. The Dharma of the deities. And we are the descendants of that religion, the deities. Actually, the word Hindu comes from the word Sindhu. Sindhu is the river, the Indus civilization. So we talk about the Indus civilization, which was very, very flourishing, which was very, very rich. And that flourishing in civilization was there 5,000 years ago. Today that history is forgotten. And who was in that civilization? The deities. And where did the deities go? We say the souls have come down the ladder. And that was the golden age. So golden age means the land of the deities. And that land was Bharat. Bharat is the imperishable land. We sing the praise of Bharat so much. In Hindi there's a song, Jahan dal dal pe sone ki chudiya karti thi basera, wo Bharat desh hai mera. Ma Bharati. So when we sing the praise of Bharat, we understand how rich Bharat was, not only in wealth, but also in culture, also in values. And that was the original deity religion. So golden age was the rule of Lakshmi and Narayan. Silver age was the rule of Sri Ram and Sita. Now many wondered then, what about Ravan and what about Sita being kidnapped and all that? We say, well, all this has got a spiritual significance. In a sense that Sita was not just one, you know, the wife of Sri Ram, and she was kidnapped in a forest by Ravan like that. Because Ravan is a devil, means the vices. The Sita is the soul. And when we say Ram means God. When Sita, the soul, forgets God, forgets the Supreme and becomes body conscious, then it is kidnapped by Ravan. The five vices kidnap the soul and make it subservient to Maya, the vices. Actually, Sita is such a pure soul, and all of us are pure souls like Sita, like Lakshmi, like Radhe. But today we have lost all our virtues because we have become body conscious. In every religion it is mentioned that how first Adam and Eve was in paradise. Christianity says, even Islam says, paradise on earth. And in that paradise Adam and Eve were enjoying. But then they were told by God not to eat the forbidden fruit. But Eve and Adam did not listen to God and they ate the forbidden fruit, and this is why they were cursed to hell. The same thing goes for Sita. It is said Sita was told by Lakshman, don't go beyond this line, the Lakshman Rekha. But Sita did not obey, and she crossed that Rekha, that line, only then Ravan could kidnap her. He could not take her if she was within the line. So what is that line? It's not a physical line drawn by chalk or by pencil or pen, but Lakshman Rekha, Laksh and Man. The Laksh or aim of the mind, Lakshman. The aim of the mind is forgotten. Purpose of life is forgotten. Why I am in this world is forgotten. God said, don't eat the forbidden fruit. Which is the forbidden fruit? The fruit of body consciousness. Because they say when Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit, they felt that they were like naked and then indulged in sex lust, and then they were cursed to hell, you know. So this curse indicates that they disobeyed God. So this world is actually paradise, heaven. It's a world of happiness. We were all deities in this world. We had so much divinity in us. Also it is said God made man in his own image. God created human in his own image. That is, all the qualities of God which he has, he put all that in a human being. And the human beings were called deities. So 5,000 years ago only one religion existed. And that religion was the Adi Sanatan Devi Devta Dharma. The Sanatan, the most ancient religion of deities, where each one had divine qualities in him or her, and every soul led a soul conscious life. There each one lived a very long life of 150 years. There was never untimely death, because there was no stress, no strain, no sorrow, no diseases, no doctors, no courts, no lawyers, no police, no military, no arms, and ammunitions, no bombs, no terrorists. It was all one world. Even now, you know, when the astronauts, they go into space, they see the earth, they like it so much, it's so beautiful, like a pearl in the cosmos. It's so beautiful, without any barriers. But when they come down, they realize, oh, there are so many barriers, all these are different countries. When we come down to earth, we start feeling the barriers more and more. The different walls, the partitions, the, you know, the buildings and whatnot. Everything becomes so big and big. It's just like when you go into the aeroplane, you know, sit in the aeroplane and go upwards. As higher you go, the smaller you see everything down. Human beings are like ants, you know, if you see from the aeroplane. Big buildings are like so small. So if we are able to go beyond, we feel that all these limitations have been created by us. God did not create these limitations of caste, creed, color, religion, language, all these barriers. No, we have created them. For God, we are all His children. And that golden age was the true paradise. No vices existed in that world. No lust, no anger, no greed, no attachment, no ego, no prejudice, no hatred, no jealousy. Now many people think, well, how can there be procreation without sex lust? Sex is the only way for procreation. That's what some people think. Some people think that sex is natural, because we are humans, it's natural. Actually, Shiv Baba says that it is all because of body consciousness. And sex is considered the only way for procreation in Kali Yuga. But that was not the way of procreation in Satyug. In Satyug, the method for procreation was yoga power, thought energy. Thought power did that job. And therefore, the children also were so pure. Now the children, the souls are all impure, therefore disease from birth. And whole life there is disease. Even in the womb, the mother has to experience so much of pain. So in the womb there is pain, even the child has to experience pain. At the time of death there is so much pain. In life there is so much pain. So people think that birth and death are big bondage. We say no, birth and death are not bondage. They are just like renouncing one dress and putting on another dress. Why should it be called a bondage? Body is a dress, is it not? Like a snake, it has a skin on top, and when the skin gets old, it removes that skin and a new skin comes from inside. It doesn't mean that the snake dies. It molds. In reptiles, they have this art of molting, where they remove one skin and they have another skin from inside. So this physical body is also like a skin, is it not? It's a body, it's like a dress, a costume. When the soul is in the body, it is birth. When the soul leaves the body, it is death. But the soul is eternal. So in golden age and silver age, every soul was very much aware of its true self. Even at the time of leaving the body, the soul left the body at its own will. Because it would get a vision that is going to get a new life, new body. And this body has become old, and therefore willingly it will leave the body, like you willingly take off your dirty dress and put on a new clean dress. So in golden age, the procreation is through yoga power, through power of purity, power of pure thoughts. Those vibrations work. So golden age and silver age are called heaven, where there's one religion, one language, one rule, one kingdom. But for 2,500 years, that that rule lasts. Golden age is Lakshmi Narayan, silver age is Ram and Sita. Of course, they have their dynasties, like we have King Edward the First, the Second, the Third, the Fourth, King, you know, Philips or King, so many different kings in England. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4 like that. Similarly, in golden age, there were kingdoms. Kingdom of Lakshmi Narayan and then kingdom of Sri Ram and Sita. And that lasted for half a kalpa, 2,500 years. The history of that half cycle is gone into oblivion now. No one knows about it. The only thing people know in history is that Bharat was very rich. That's all. Aryan civilization, they talk about 5,000 years ago. But nothing more. And they were all very civilized, that's all. But how did their civilization disappear? No one knows. So Shiva Baba reveals that when the end of Silver Age came, there was a very big change in this universe. A big change which led to change in weather, change in everything, change in the thoughts of the people. And the souls became body conscious from soul conscious stage. Because of coming in the body for 2,500 years in which they took 20 births, you know. It's a big explanation which you can go and understand at your centers. In the 7 days course which is given at the centers. So golden age and silver age is the direct creation of the Supreme, which is called heaven. But when copper age comes, in Hindi we say Dwapur, two parts. So it becomes like two parts. The soul forgets itself and becomes body conscious. The paradise is lost. Heaven disappears and hell begins. The five vices begin. They enter because of body consciousness. And then sorrow begins. When sorrow begins, people start looking up to God for peace and happiness. And they start building temples. And the first worship is of light. God is light. Therefore, the ancient most temples in India, they are the Jyotirlingam Mathas. Jyotirlingam. So Jyotirlingam means the symbol of light, because when copper age began, the soul started indulging in the vices, sorrow began because of that, then the soul started remembering God, they had visions of light. Now how to depict that light? So they would depict in the form of an oval shaped stone. The original temple of light was actually Somnath. And Somnath's temple had the Shivling made of diamond, Kohinoor diamond, which is the largest diamond in the world, the Kohinoor diamond, which was stolen from India. There's a big history of the Kohinoor diamond. So actually that was representing the Jyoti light, the Shivling. So now we see in temples we have that Shivling made of black stone or white stone, but actually the original symbol was represented by a diamond, Kohinoor diamond. So when copper age began, the bhakti or worship of Shiva started. And people built temples on the name of Shiva. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, the ever truth, the benefactor, the beautiful. But later on, because the world had to go on, body consciousness increased. People started invoking God to give them peace and happiness. And for the world to continue, the prophet souls came into this world. Abraham came. Then Buddha came. Mahavir came. Christ came. Muhammad came. Guru Nanak came. So many prophet souls came, and why they came? They came to give support to the world. It was the need of the hour. And we, the worship worthy, became worshippers and started worshipping our own worship worthy forms. The deities are actually our own worship worthy forms. They are our ancestors. And the proof of that is we still have their names. In Indian culture, we have their names. Somebody's name may be Lakshmi, Saraswati, Durga. Brother's name may be Narayan, you know, Krishna, all that. So, till today we have those names because we are their descendants. But we have forgotten our virtues, our values, which the deities had. And we are, because of that, we cannot call ourselves deities anymore. We have started calling ourselves Hindus. And that Hindu is also being converted into so many religions. And now it has become so worse. People want to call themselves the backward class. More and more want to call from themselves the backward class because they can get some privileges from the government. So what we were, so high, so elevated, and see today what we have become. People think that if we get converted, we get better privileges, so they convert. But this is just on a physical level. The real religion of the soul is peace. That's everyone's religion, everyone's. The real religion of Bharat was the deity religion. And both these religions are forgotten. Neither the soul religion, which is peace, is known by anyone, nor the deity religion remembered by anyone. We have become Hindus or Christians or Muslims or Sikhs or Parsis or whatever. And we say that, we do say that we are all brothers, Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Isai, Bhai, Bhai. And in each religion too, so many bifurcations, so many small, small branches and sub-branches and sub-sub-branches, and people are fighting amongst each other. We have forgotten the seed. We have forgotten the main trunk, the deity religion. And today we have separated ourselves and the whole kalpa tree has become so weak. It's reached the stage of deterioration. Actually, every religion today has reached that stage of degradation. Because when the prophet souls came, there was so much purity and power in every religion. When Christ came, he preached about love. When Buddha came, he preached about non-violence. When Abraham came, he preached about one God. So, we see that how all the prophet souls, when they came, whatever they preached was the need of that hour. And in this way, they supported the world. But today we are seeing, even in those religions, who is following or obeying their prophet, their founding father? Nobody. Buddha spoke about ahimsa. But today, in their religion itself, in Buddhism, how much himsa is taking place? So much. What they eat, just imagine, you know, what they eat. Anything they'll eat. The Chinese, anything they will eat. Even cockroach and snakes and whatnot, everything. Where is ahimsa? So, in Christianity, Christ preached love. Where is that love? We have forgotten the true love. Love has turned into hatred today. And the result is that each one is ready to kill the other one. Each country is stockpiling all its weapons so that it can defend itself. Well, the aim is defense. But once these weapons are made, do you think that they will be used only for defense? they will be used for attack too. And once a war begins, what will happen? Will it stop? No, it won't. And today we are seeing we have come to the end of Iron Age, when all the religions have reached their degraded stage. Each one is hating the other religion and considering their religion to be the best one. We say, okay, if you cannot respect the other religion, at least tolerate. They say, no, we can't even tolerate. Respect is out of question. We can't even tolerate. We say, okay, at least accept. They don't even want to accept. Leave aside tolerate. So this is the result in today's world, and the stockpile of weapons is increasing day by day. Today they have invented so many nuclear weapons that not once, not twice, but more than 35 times the whole world can be destroyed if a world war takes place now. That's why when the Second World War took place, after that, well, America won, Japan and Germany lost, because America threw an atom bomb on Hiroshima, Nagasaki. And then when Einstein was asked, what would the Third World War be like if it did take place? Einstein said, if a Third World War takes place, we will no longer be living like this. We will again start Stone Age and people will be playing with stones, because science thinks that there was Stone Age at the beginning. Science thinks that we have come down from monkeys. But Shiv Baba says, no children, now we have become monkey-like. All the five vices are in the monkeys. And today humans are even worse than monkeys. At least monkeys, they mind their own business if you don't do anything to them. But humans cannot tolerate humans. At least monkeys don't kill monkeys. Monkeys, do they kill monkeys? I don't think so. They don't kill their own breed. But humans, they don't mind killing anyone. They don't even mind eating human flesh. They have become man-eaters. So just imagine where human being has fallen. Human beings who were deities, and today they have become man-eaters. Just imagine. Deities, when we offer food to them, we offer such pure food. And if humans who are the descendants of deities today, what we are eating? Just imagine. Humans are not meant to eat flesh or meat. Our teeth are not meant for that. Our small intestine is not meant for digesting meat. But still we eat. And in this way, so many diseases we are increasing in our body. So we have reached the fag end of Kali Yuga now. From Golden Age to Silver Age to Copper Age to Iron Age. And it has become totally dark. All the vices are at their climax today. Do you expect this to go even further than this? The sins are multiplying every day. Terrorism has reached its peak. Terrorism has led to so much of sinful actions in the world increasing. Just imagine. Human bombs. People become human bombs. Just imagine. They don't mind if they die. Well, if they die, okay, somebody wants to commit suicide, it is his fate. But one who becomes a human bomb, not only does he die, but he kills so many along with himself. So how much sin that soul would accumulate, just imagine. It's beyond imagination. And the urn of sins is filling up to the brim. And what will be the result? It will break definitely one day. It cannot last like this forever. You say ati, ati leads to iti, the end. And iti will ultimately lead to adi, the beginning. Because this cycle will not end here. Many people ask, what is the future of Bharat? They ask us. We say, the future of Bharat is very bright. To be positive, it is definitely very bright. Bharat is the spiritual motherland of the whole world. Bharat is the spiritual lighthouse for the whole world. It gives the true light to the whole world. Because everyone else has become so materialistic. But today, what are we seeing in Bharat? It's going towards the West. The West is fed up of materialism. It's trying to come towards the East to learn the yoga of Bharat. But the West, East is trying to go to the West to take that materialism from the West. Just imagine. But the future of Bharat is definitely very bright. Because Bharat will become once again the golden age. There will be paradise in Bharat. There will be rivers of milk and honey in Bharat. Plentitude in Bharat. The deities will come back once again in Bharat. So there will be rivers of milk and ghee. But before those rivers of milk and ghee, there will also be rivers of blood. Bloodshed will also come in Bharat. But that bloodshed will become a blessing in disguise because it will destroy all the impurity in this land, all the corruption in this land, all the vices in this land. And this Bharat will once again become a pure land. The impurity will go, the vices will finish. The sufferings will end. The climax will lead to the end. There will be definitely a very big civil war because we are fighting against one another on the name of religion. Just imagine, religion doesn't teach us to fight. But still we are fighting because we have forgotten the self, forgotten the father, forgotten our true home, forgotten our true religion. And therefore Shiv Baba is saying that children, now is the end of Kali Yuga. It's not the beginning of Kali Yuga. Many people think it's only a beginning of Kali Yuga. And they think that Mahabharata war took place 5,000 years ago. And that was the end of Copper Age. We say no. Mahabharata war took place at the end of Iron Age. Actually, this is a revelation. If it took place at the end of Copper Age, then after Copper Age, Iron Age is meant to come. Then does Mahabharata war bring Iron Age instead? Just imagine. Mahabharata war resulted in heaven. The Pandavas got heaven. God told the Pandavas, I will give you the kingdom of heaven. So which battle did they fight? Who are the Kauravas? Who are the Pandavas? Those who were on the side of God, they were the Pandavas. Those who were on the side of materialism, money, manpower, machines, they lost the battle. And those who were on the side of God, they won the battle. But who are our enemies? Our enemies are the vices, lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego. And we have to conquer these vices. And those who conquer these vices, they get the kingdom of heaven, golden age. This Bharat will once again become a golden age. So Mahabharata war opens the gates of heaven. It means that it will bring the end of Iron Age. Through the nuclear war, civil war, calamities, this Kali Yuga will end. Many people question, when will it end? When is the end of Kali Yuga? We say, Shiv Baba has not given us the date yet. But Baba also says, children, don't become date conscious. When will be the date? Okay, we will start making efforts then. No, don't become date conscious, but become God conscious. Become soul conscious. Because if you become soul and God conscious, you will be able to make the right efforts at the right time. And you can become complete and return home to the soul world. And for that, Shiv Baba the Supreme has descended in this world already. 71 years ago in the year 1936, and he gave all these revelations through Pitashri Prajapita Brahma, about whom I will tell you in the next session. And how we are making those efforts to become pure, to change ourselves, to transform our mentality, our attitudes, our actions, our behavior, so that we can again become deities of the golden age. And so for that, Shiv Baba has said, children, be holy, be yogi. Remember me. Keep your mind in me. So this is the cycle. And the future is very bright. Bharat will once again become a golden age. But before that, the Iron Age also will have to end that before that. And for that, the destruction is ready. So are we ready? Are we ready to face that destruction? Are we ready to come to golden age? Are we ready to become deities? Are we? Those who are, they raise their hand. Acha? Everyone? Everyone? Oh, it's a great surprise. Very good. Congratulations. Congratulations to all of you. Yes. So if someone would be asked that where did the deities of golden age go? We say they are all sitting in this conference hall. All the deities are sitting in this conference hall. Are you those deities of golden age? You have that faith also? Yes? Very good. If you have that faith, then you will certainly come in that golden age. You know, we come to know that whether a soul comes in golden age or copper age or even now, because the population of the world is increasing. How is it increasing? Because those souls who came in golden age, they again came in silver age too. And along with them, new souls came from the soul world. Those who were in golden age, silver age, they come in copper age and iron age too. And new souls from the soul world come, like in a drama. All the actors don't come at the same time on a stage. They come gradually on the stage. And at the end of the drama, all the actors stand on the stage to say goodbye to the audience. So we know that all the actors who are on the who are in the soul world have nearly descended. Nobody has gone back in the middle of the drama. Nobody can go back. Many people think that so-and-so got nirvana, so-and-so got moksha. Shiv Baba says no. Once a soul comes on this drama stage, it cannot go back in the middle of the drama. All the souls have to go back together at the same time. Because we have forgotten our home today. How can we go back home? The gates are closed for entry to Paramdham. Exit is open from Paramdham. And entry is here in this world. So till now, souls are descending. Those souls who are descending now, all the time they had been in Paramdham. And they think, well, this is heaven for them. The vices are like nectar for them. They don't think it is poison. They think it is nectar. So they are those souls who have come only recently from the soul world. They think eat, drink and be merry. This is what life is. Materialism is everything. That's what they think. But those souls who belong to golden age, they say, no, this is not heaven. That heavenly kingdom is so beautiful. This is nothing compared to that. It's just like driving a new car and driving a, not even second hand, but a third hand car, which is a very old car and somebody is driving. Well, the one who has never driven before, he will enjoy there because he does not know the joy of a new car. But the one who has driven a new car, will he enjoy a third class car? He will never enjoy. Who has driven a Mercedes car, if you make him sit in a small Maruti 800, what will he say? He'll say, oh, this is not a car. So those who are golden aged souls, how can they believe this is heaven? But those who are descending now from Paramdham, they think this is heaven for them. Eat, drink and be merry. But the golden aged souls will say, no, we want to create heaven in this world again through our purity, through our virtues, through our meditation. Then there are the third type of people who came in copper age from the soul world. And if you tell them that golden age existed in this world and everyone was a deity and there was 100% peace, purity, happiness in this world, they will never believe you. They will say, no, no, this world is always a world of sorrow. Always sorrow. There's no happiness in this world. Because those souls did not experience the happiness of golden age and silver age. They have experienced only from copper age onwards. And because of that, they think this world has always been a world of sorrow. But those who have experienced golden age will say, no, this world was a world of happiness. God did not create sorrow for us. No parents will want to give sorrow to their children. So God also, why should He give us sorrow? He gives us happiness, but we make this world a world of sorrow through our own actions. And if you want to make this world a world of happiness, we have to change our actions. So are we all willing? Those who are willing to change their actions, raise their hand. Now raise your hand once again. Yes. So again, congratulations. But for that, what do you have to do? You will be told in the next lesson will be this evening. What you have to do for that. So now you have come to know the three aspects of time. What we were, what we are and what we will become. This story is a story of yesterday, today and tomorrow. Yesterday we were in golden age and today we are in this iron age. But those who have the knowledge of soul and supreme soul and are practicing Raj Yoga meditation, we will never say that we are in iron age anymore. We are, in which age? We say that we are in the, at the center between the end of iron age and the beginning of the golden age, called the confluence age. Just like you see in a clock, when it is just 5 minutes to 12 o'clock, that little space left indicates that very soon AM will change to PM or PM will change to AM. It will be the change. So 12 o'clock midnight, 5 minutes left, you'll say yes, AM will come after 5 minutes. So now we have just 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes compared to 5,000 years, maybe even 1 minute left. And then that big needle will come to the small needle and both will be on one on each other. That will be the time for all the souls to go back to the soul world. And we have to be ready for that. So as we have the knowledge of Self and the Supreme, we are at the confluence age. And at this confluence age, we wake up. we are no longer sleeping in the slumber of ignorance. The soul has awakened. The third eye is opened. It's not that Shankar alone opened his third eye and destroyed Kamdev, or as they show in the stories. But we open our third eye of knowledge and destroy the vices and become pure, real tapasvis, yogis, Raj Rishis, the direct children of the Supreme, taking direct power from the Supreme and transforming ourselves to become deities of the golden age. So this is the cycle, or this is like a ladder. And now God is teaching us the different types of karmas, what you call as sat karmas, sukarmas, sreshth karmas, karmas done in the remembrance of the Supreme Father. So how to do that and what that is will be in the next session. So what period are we passing now? What period are we passing through? It's no longer Kali Yuga. It's not even Satyuga. But it is what? The Purushottam Sangam Yuga. The most auspicious confluence age between Iron Age and the Golden Age. The time for transformation. And if we don't transform willingly, then nature will transform us. The five elements will transform us. Destruction will transform us. Dharamraj, the supreme justice, will transform us. So why be transformed by somebody else? Why not do it yourself willingly? Then you will get God's love. You will get God's inheritance. You will get heavenly kingdom. So this is the real spiritual understanding of God's creation. Acha, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. So we finish now here. Om Shanti, not 2 minutes, we sit in silence.
पवित्रता के हे मंत्र दाता, पवित्रता के हे मंत्र दाता, हम पर तुम्हारे एहसान लाखों।
पवित्रता के हे मंत्र दाता, हम पर तुम्हारे एहसान लाखों।
तुम्हारी शिक्षा से चल रहे हैं, तुम्हारी शिक्षा से चल रहे हैं, सन्मार्ग पर अब इंसान लाखों।
पवित्रता के हे मंत्र दाता, हम पर तुम्हारे एहसान लाखों।
ही मन है कुर्बान लाखों,
मन ही मन है कुर्बान लाखों। पवित्रता के हे मंत्र दाता, हम पर तुम्हारे एहसान लाखों।
इसीलिए तो आते ही रहते।